नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय आय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Kantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 60, entitled Krishna Teases Rukmini, Text 31st. Ayam hi paramo labho, ayam hi paramo labho, gruheshu grahamedhinam, grahamedhinam, yannar mair iyate yamaha, mair iyate yamaha, प्रियभामिनी अयम हि परमो लाभो परमो लाभो गृहेषु गृहमेधिनां मेधिनां यन्नर्मैर्यते यामः मैर्यते यामः प्रियभामिनी प्रियभामिनी अयम हि परमो लाभो गृहेषु गृहमेधिनां यन्नर्मैर्यते यामः नर्मैर्यते यामः प्रियाभिरुभामिनी प्रियाभिरुभामिनी परमो लाभो ग्रहमेधिनाते यामः प्रियाभिरुभामिनी वैष्णवीस् अयं हि परमो लाभो तेषु गृहमेधिनाषु गृहमेधिनाते यामः What to a translation? I am this. He indeed. Paramaha, the greatest. Labhaha, gain. Gruheshu, in family life. Gruhamedhinam, for worldly householders. Yat, which, narmai, with joking words. Iyate, is spent. Yamaha, time. Priyaya, with one's beloved. Bhiru, O timid one. Bhamini, O temperamental one.
Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the greatest pleasure worldly householders can enjoy at home is to spend time joking with their beloved wives. My dear timid and temperamental one. Purport: the word Bhamini indicates an angry, passionate, temperamental woman. Since lovely Rukmini did not become angry despite all provocations, the Lord is still speaking facetiously.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadam Maiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchina Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Krupasindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees. That I can speak something about this exalted pastime. So, today we are discussing about Krishna's intimate dealings with Rukmini Devi. So I will analyze this pastime based on the principle of rasa as given by Śrīla Rūpa Goswāmī in Bhakti Samrita Sindhu and his subsequent book Ujjwal Nilamani, and by Jiva Goswāmī in his commentary on the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, that is Digdarshini Tika. So I'll talk about this in three parts. First is I'll talk about relationships per se, what they require. Then I'll talk about the concept of rasa and how that relates with relationships in the worldly realm and in the transcendental realm. And then lastly, we'll discuss about how this can apply to us in our lives. So, ayam hi paramo labho. So, Krishna is talking with Rukmini, and the background of this pastime is that Krishna has teased Rukmini, trying to make her angry. But so he teases her, but instead of getting angry, Rukmini becomes overwhelmed. So Krishna teases her saying that I am a cowherd and you were born a princess in an illustrious family and probably you made a mistake by choosing me. And he wants Rukmini to get angry. Now Jiva Goswami explains in Gopal Champu that actually there is a connection between Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and in Dvarka. Especially with Lalit Madhav and Vidagdha Madhav talk about this connection quite specifically, which gopis from the Vraja Leela manifest as the as the patranis, as the queens in Dvarka Leela. So one interesting point he makes over there is that Radharani manifests as Satyabhama. And Chandravali manifests as Rukmini. And the reason for this is that there is a particular mood that is displayed by the queens. So, in Vrajalila, in Ujjwala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami explains that the love of Radharani for Krishna is like honey. And the love of Chandravali for Krishna is like ghee. Both are wonderful. But there is a difference in the flavor. So, Radharani, she in her love, she demands from Krishna. Whereas Chandravali is very submissive. So, Rupa Goswami used the example that if in the scriptures, often to talk about the relationship between male and females, a standard example that is used is of elephant. So, just as there's a story of Gajendra who was with his many queens. So, like that, there is a he elephant and there are many she elephants. So, Rupa Goswami used the example that consider three elephants, one he elephant and two she elephants. So, he says that there are these two she elephants, but one, so Krishna is like the he elephant and Radharani and Chandravali are like the she elephants. The difference is that among these three elephants, say the elephant is pursuing one of the she elephants and that she elephant doesn't care for him and she's just going away neglecting him. And there's another she elephant who is following this he elephant, ready to do whatever that she elephant wants. So the she elephant who neglects the he elephant, that is compared to Radharani. So Radharani, we have the pastime in the Man Mandir, where Krishna, Radharani is annoyed with Krishna, and Krishna apologizes. He touches his feet down to Radharani. He touches his head down to Radharani's feet. So that, rather than, now this is all transcendental. The mood is of serving Krishna only, but within service there are different flavors. I'll come to that a little later. But the point is, although both Chandravali and Radharani both want to serve Krishna, they serve in different flavors. So, Chandravali is always concerned about pleasing Krishna. And even if Krishna neglects her, she thinks, what can I do for Krishna? How can I please Krishna? So, she practically never expresses her displeasure, even if Krishna neglects her. Whereas, Radharani demands from Krishna. And she is not afraid that if I do not pay attention to Krishna, Krishna will leave me and go away. No, Krishna is going to follow me. And she demands from Krishna. So this mood of demanding from Krishna, we see in Satyabhama. When Rukmini is given a parijat by Krishna when he goes to the heavens and comes back with a parijat, so at that time, Satyabhama doesn't think that, oh, if I ask Krishna for a flower, will Krishna think that I am jealous? No, he directly goes into what we could call in mundane terms, a bad mood. And she demands from Krishna, you have to give me a parijat. So Krishna tells that, what to speak of giving me a parijat, I will take you to heaven itself. And then he takes her on Garuda to heaven. And then he gives a huge gift to her. So, the mood of Radharani of demanding from Krishna, that is the mood which is reflected by Satyabhama. Whereas the mood of waiting on Krishna, doing whatever Krishna wants, that is the mood of Chandravali and that is reflected by Rukmini. So now both these moods are meant ultimately for the pleasure of Krishna. It is not that Satyabhama does not love Krishna, nor that Radharani doesn't love Krishna. They love Krishna, but in relationships, Krishna has different flavors which he relishes with different devotees. So there is a prominent flavor that is relished in this particular relationship, in each particular relationship. Now, in his relationship with Rukmini, Krishna wants to taste a different flavor. So normally there is the mood of Rukmini is always waiting eagerly to please Krishna. And no matter what Krishna does, so when Krishna gives a Parijat flower to Rukmini and then he gives a whole Parijat garden to Satyabhama, then Rukmini never expresses any displeasure. So now Krishna knows naturally there are these dynamics that will be there between co-wives, but she does not give vent to her emotions. And Krishna in this particular pastime wants to see Rukmini angry. He wants to taste a different flavor in that relationship. And that's why he deliberately speaks provocative words. And his goal is to see her angry. Now, in this world, sometimes in movies, you know, when a heroine becomes angry with a hero, the hero wants to pacify her and says, "You look very beautiful when you are angry." Now, when a woman is praised, "You look very beautiful," then she is pleased with that. And that's how the hero tries to bypass the anger. And the heroine is sharp, he says, "This is an old line, I won't get carried away by this." So the point is, this is a reflection of what is there originally in the spiritual world, in the relationships between the Lord and his devotees in Madhuriras. So Krishna wants to see the beauty of Rukmini when she is angry. But when Rukmini unexpectedly, rather than becoming angry at Krishna, she becomes filled with anxiety. And she becomes almost unconscious. And then Krishna has to revive her and Krishna has to console her. And then he tells, "I was only joking." So that's what he says. So jokes are what? Are actually the joy of our life. And now Rukmini composes herself, and we will see after this that Rukmini becomes angry for Krishna's pleasure. And she counters all of Krishna's arguments. So when Rukmini sees this, my basic relationship is secure. We know that relatively speaking, among all the queens, it was Rukmini who took the greatest risk. All the other queens, Krishna, Vandana and Swayamvar. But Rukmini was on the verge of being wedded to somebody else. And all the arrangements were practically made. And in those times, for a woman to, for unmarried woman, to write a letter to some other male. Now that was quite forbidden in those times. So yet Rukmini took that risk and sent a letter to Krishna. And in that letter she explained that, "Yahi asat Krishna," he says that, "If Krishna, I do not get your shelter, then I will give up my body. And you who are the Supreme Lord, whose lotus feet shelter even Brahma and Shiva, yasyangri pankaj rajas napanam mahanto vanchante umapati rivatma tamopahatte yari ambujakshana labheya bhavat prasadam jahye asat krishan janmashatvihisya." He says that if I do not get your shelter, I am ready to give up my life. And not just once, I am ready to give up my life hundreds of times till I can get you one day. So for her, just sending that letter was a great risk to her reputation. And for a woman in those times, her reputation was very important. The reputation of purity, the reputation of chastity was very, very important. And she took that risk and she said also that, "I am ready to give up my life. I cannot live without you." So now that her great risk in obtaining the Lord, and after that her obtaining the Lord, that was a great fulfillment for her. But now when she thought that I'm going to lose Krishna, just couldn't tolerate it. And she fell unconscious. If Krishna leaves me, she had no conception ever of leaving Krishna. But if Krishna leaves me, how will I live? She just fell unconscious. Normally, when there is psychologically, when do people fall unconscious? No, when the stimuli that we are experiencing at the conscious level are so severe to tolerate that the mind switches to unconsciousness. So that happens, it can be either because of physical pain or it can happen because of emotional pain. Now physically, when the person gets too much blows, you know, somebody is beaten. So when the body cannot tolerate that pain, then the body switches off its consciousness. We go unconscious. Or emotionally also, when there is a big trauma and the person can't withstand it, then the person falls unconscious. So Rukmini, there was no physical trauma to her, but there was emotionally, she was horrified, devastated, shattered. She said, a thought that I may lose Krishna. She fell unconscious. This was not at all the reaction that Krishna expected. And Krishna also became anxious, and then he revived her, consoled her, and then he is speaking these words. So now this is the last word that Krishna speaks, and then Rukmini will respond from here onwards. So now in relationships, to be exciting, need to have a healthy blend of predictability and unpredictability. In relationships, there has to be a healthy blend of predictability and unpredictability. Now, predictability means that when we develop a relationship with someone, there is a certain understanding, okay, this person's character is like this, this person's nature is like this, and overall we expect that person to behave in particular ways. However, if everything about that person becomes predictable, then the relationship becomes monotonous. It almost becomes like relating with a robot. Now everything is, you know, okay, you do this, you speak this, this person will speak this. If I speak this, this person will speak this. If I speak this, this person will speak this. Then, if I do this, this person will do this. So then it becomes, then the excitement in the relationship goes away. So there is some unpredictability. So I speak this and suddenly this person speaks this. I didn't expect that. And then we come to know a new facet of that person. And the sweetness in the relationship deepens. However, if there is only unpredictability in the relationship, then we don't know what to expect. You know, we just don't have any foundation for the relationship. You know, I know it's like, if there is only unpredictability in the relationship, it's like walking in a minefield. You know, you don't know what we speak and what explosion will happen because of what we speak. So if there is only unpredictability, then there is no stability, there is no security in the relationship. On the other hand, if there is only predictability, then that relationship degenerates into monotony. So that's why there has to be a balance between balance of predictability and unpredictability to keep a relationship alive and exciting. So Krishna, he knew that Rukmini is a vama swabhava, she has a gentle nature and she never gets angry with me. So that was the predictable reaction. But now he wanted something unpredictable. He wanted something unusual. So he wanted something unusual, but he got an unexpected reaction. The unusual thing he wanted was that Rukmini should become angry. But instead of becoming angry, she became anxious. So there was this. So this also surprised Krishna. Because by the intensity of her anxiety, also she revealed her love for Krishna. So even in that unpredictability, Krishna wanted something unusual, but what came out was not what he expected. But still through that anxiety also, she revealed her love for Krishna. Now anxiety, we don't get anxious about things which we are not concerned about. The greater we love something, the greater is our anxiety when there is some risk connected with that thing. So this also reveals, so Rukmini's anxiety revealed a new aspect of Krishna's love, of her love for Krishna to Krishna. And then Rukmini curbed her own anxiety when she saw that Krishna consoled her, Krishna spoke the words, and then she, in order to please Krishna, did what Krishna wanted. That is, she became angry. So now, this is the specifics about this particular pastime. Now going to the rasa in this pastime. So there is the primary rasa is Madhurya rasa. Madhurya rasa is, Srila Prabhupada translates it as conjugal love. Now Prabhupada is very precise in technical terms. Actually the word conjugal refers to married love. Love between the husband and wife. So conjugal is not exactly the relationship between the gopis and Krishna. There is parkiya bhava. So Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur in his translations would use amorous rasa, amorous emotions. Amor is the relation, is the affection, is the male-female attraction. And it can be in married as well as unmarried. So he translates Madhurya as amorous affection. Now Prabhupada uses conjugal affection because from the Siddhanta point of view, from the rasa point of view, just to increase the flavor, to increase the excitement and the intensity in the relationships, Krishna arranges that the gopis are unmarried to him, so that there is more suspense and more thrill in that relationship. But from the point of view of tattva, Krishna is the lord of everyone and he is the lord of the gopis also. So Prabhupada, by using the word conjugal to translate madhurya, the word madhurya is non-specific. Madhurya is basically refers to the relationship between male and female. That can be, the male and female may be married or male and female may be unmarried. But Prabhupada conveys the philosophical point that the male that even if they appear unmarried, actually from the philosophical point of view, they are married. And that's why he uses the word conjugal instead of amorous to refer to the relationship between Krishna and his devotees and his female devotees. Whether they be, so now there is Aishwarya Madhurya, there is Vishramba Madhurya. Vishramba Madhurya is very intense, very affectionate. So the Vraja devotees, their affection for Krishna is Vishramba, is very intimate. It is not covered by knowledge of Aishwarya. So Aishwarya Shithila Prema Na Aishwarya Bhujaya. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Aishwarya Shithila Prema, that Shithila means to become weak or faint. So the love that has become weakened by the awareness of Aishwarya, the Lord is not pleased by that, he says. So now in Dwarka, overall the awareness of Aishwarya is there. Although there is definitely intimacy in the male-female relation, in the Madhurya Rasa, but there is still Aishwarya is there. So now in this particular emotion, where there is some tinge of reverence, so Rukmini doesn't get angry with Krishna. So that is her stable relationship is of a very congenial, serving disposition. Whereas what Krishna wants is for her to get angry. So this is a different flavor in that particular relationship. Now going to the principle of rasa, now Rupa Goswami developed his rasa theory in Bhakta Sam Sindhu based primarily on Bharat Muni's Natya Shastra. Bharat Muni is the seminal teacher of Natya Shastra, of rasa. He talks about the concept of rasa first in Natya Shastra, and there are Vopadev and others who actually write in their commentaries, Abhinav Ghosh, Vopadev and others who write in their commentaries developing the concept of rasa further. So now we may all have heard of these terms of sthayi bhav, vyabhichari, anubhav, vibhav. Sometimes these terms seem a little confusing. So I will use first the terminology which is used by Bharat Muni in Natya Shastra, which is very simple terminology, and then I'll collect that terminology with the terminology which Rupa Goswami uses, and we'll see how that framework of analysis applies to this pastime. So now Bharat Muni says that in emotions there are basically three factors. There is karana, karya and sahakari. Karana, karya and sahakari. Karana is the external environment, external conditions and causes. Karana, that which is the, we could call the stimulus. I'll elaborate this a little bit more. So there is, suppose somebody gets angry, there is some external condition, some external stimulus. Now a mother has told a child, don't play on the road, and mother sees a child playing on the road, then she sees the child disobedience, she becomes angry. So there is karana, there is external stimulus. Then there is karya. Karya is the actions and expressions, the external actions and expressions. Because emotions are internal. How do we know that somebody is experiencing some emotions? That is when there are some expressions. Somebody may not get angry, or somebody may not shout when they get angry, but they may bite their lips, or they may clench their fists, or we may see the nerve going up over here. They're trying to control their anger, whatever. So the point is that there are certain external expressions and gestures which express the emotion. So this is karya. So karana is the external stimulus. Karya is the external expression. And sahakari, as the word means, associates or assistants.
So sahakari refers to the assisting emotions and actions which flavor, which intensify, which nuance, which complement, which basically enhance the main emotion. So there is karya, karana and sahakari. There is the stimulus, the action and the assistance for it. So now, this is the three broad terms. Now let's look at the terms which Rupa Goswami uses and see how they fit in that. Now in the karya, there are two types of karana. There is, we could call say more or less static and dynamic. Those which are active and not so active. So that means, these two are called alamban and uddipan. So uddipan is the static setting. So for example, in the Rasa Leela, at the start, when in the 29th chapter it is described that the beautiful full moon of Sharada had risen. So, and that full moon, when it illumined the whole sky, Krishna looked at that full moon and his heart desired to perform amorous pastimes with the gopis. So the full moon of Sharada, that is the Uddipana. It's one of the Uddipanas. So Uddipana is more or less the setting. And then there is Alamban. Alamban are the players, are the characters. So then, Krishna, when he went into the forest and he played his flute. So when he played the flute, he saw the gopis coming. And he beheld their beauty and he beheld their anxiety. The acharyas describe how the gopis were so anxious that they did not even dress themselves properly. No, they put one part, a dress which was meant for one part of the body for another part of the body. Now normally, if a woman is going to meet, normally women dress themselves quite well, especially if a woman is going to meet her beloved, she'll be very conscientious that she dresses nicely and she looks beautiful. But the intensity of the gopis' love for Krishna and the fervency of their desire to reciprocate with Krishna's call was so great that even that which is the normal feminine tendency of dressing carefully and dressing especially carefully when one is going to meet one's beloved, that was also forgotten. That was like the pull of Krishna. So the Goswamis explained that Krishna's flute song, that it was like the strains of the sound of the flute music that came out of Krishna's flute and his mouth, they were like ropes. They entered into the heart of the gopis and pulled them, making them leave whatever they were doing. Sarva dharman parityaj. Even the Sri dharma of dressing oneself carefully, they forgot even that. This ran to Krishna. So now when Krishna, so for the gopis, Krishna, the sight of Krishna, that is the alamban. And for Krishna, the gopis, seeing the gopis, that is the alamban. So Prabhupada explains how, when the gopis see Krishna smiling, so beautiful, the gopis become very happy. And when they become happy, then their beauty increases. Now even a face which is not very good looking, when there is a smile, it looks warm, it looks pleasant. And if somebody is already beautiful, when there is a smile, the beauty increases all the more. So when Krishna saw the beauty of the gopis enhanced, what happened? He became very happy and he became pleased and his beauty became enhanced. When his beauty became enhanced, the gopis saw that and they became pleased. So like that, there was a symbiotic upsurge of emotions that happened. So this is alamban. So now in the karya, in the external conditions and causes, so there is uddipan and alamban. Uddipan is the setting, alamban are the players, are the characters. Now, in the karya, in the in the karya, which are the actions, which are the external expressions of the emotions, there are two types. There are conscious and there are subconscious. So, for example, the Ashta Sattvic Vikaras, the Sattvic Abhav, You know, when say somebody starts trembling, or the horripilation, the hair stands on end, or the kantha becomes choked. You know, all this when it happens, it is subconscious. It is not that they desire, they are wanting to do this. Yes, when say Yashoda Mai sees Krishna, Krishna is coming back from home after a long day, and Yashoda Mai is thinking, when will Krishna come? When will Krishna come? And then she is peering out towards the pathway. When will Krishna come? And she sees Krishna coming. And then Krishna comes, and spontaneously Yashoda Mai's arms open, and Krishna runs into her embrace. So those arms opening, she is tall. Krishna is still small when he's a small boy. So she comes down on her knees and she opens her hand so that Krishna will run into her embrace. So that opening her arms, that is a conscious action. And unconsciously her heart will start throbbing in greater excitement, in greater eagerness, fervency. So these are subconscious. So in the karya, there are subconscious and there are conscious. So the ecstasy is usually the astasatvika vikaras. They are usually subconscious. And that is why when somebody tries to consciously, intentionally imitate them, then the acharyas disapprove it as sahajiyaism. Because there is no actual emotion there. So Gaurakishwadas Babaji was one of the very strong critics of sahajiyaism. And he gives the example saying that, now when a woman is pregnant and in the final stages, when the contractions are intensifying, she is about to deliver. So at that time, because of the labor pains, she may scream. Now, those screams are the natural result of the child emerging from the body. And although there are the screams, the result of that, now when a woman in labor screams, you know, all the relatives will come, all the family members will come, oh, now a child is going to be born, oh, her health is good, the child's health is good. So they'll all come around over there. Now through all those intense calls of pain, screams of pain, now a child is going to be born. Now if there's another woman who is not pregnant, and she thinks, oh, nobody pays any attention to me, so she also starts screaming. And nobody is going to come to her. So the screams of a woman in labor lead to the birth of a child. But the screams of a woman who is not pregnant, there's no child going to come from that. Similarly, a devotee who has advanced love for Krishna, when there are the subconscious emotions of ecstasy, the astasatvika bhav, at that time, Krishna naturally is attracted and Krishna comes running. Oh, this devotee is filled with so much ecstasy. But one who imitates a pregnant woman, she has served her wife, she has associated with her wife, a pregnant woman, she has associated with her husband, and the husband is given the seed by which the child is going to be born. So like that, a devotee associates with Krishna, serves Krishna, and the bhakti lata beej which comes from the guru, the devotee tends that and makes sure that it grows, and then over a period of time the symptoms of ecstasy gradually manifest. But one who has not done all that, and a person who has not done all that and just suddenly tries to imitate prematurely, artificially, imitate these ashtasatvika karas, then there is no, Krishna doesn't become attracted, and by such imitation, bhakti does not become enhanced. Rather, bhakti becomes depleted, as Prabhupada said so poignantly. Traditionally, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, it is said that the tears of love are the conclusion of all philosophy. We study all our philosophy so that we can cry for Krishna. But Prabhupada says in CC purport that the tears of the sahajiyas wipe out the philosophy from their consciousness. You know, they are not the culmination of the philosophy, they cause the eradication of the philosophy. Because they have not even understood the basic difference between authentic emotions and imitative emotions. The real spiritual substance and the artificial mundane imitation. So anyway, the point is in karya, there is anubhav and there is vibhav. So anubhav and vibhav. So vibhava are the subconscious emotions. Anubhav are the conscious emotions. So in vibhav there is also the ashtasatvika vikaras. There are the sattvic bhavas as they are called. So this is the broad framework. So in any action, there is in the expression of emotion, there are the external causes and then there are external expressions of those emotions. And along with that, there are sahakari. Sahakari are assistants. So, this Sahakari, Rupa Goswami terms as Vyabhichari Bhava. Vyabhichari Bhava are those which supplement that emotion. So, for example, within, say, Krishna's relationship with Yashoda Mai, there is Sthayi Bhava and there is Vyabhichari Bhava. Sthayi Bhava is the steady emotion. So, the steady emotion is of the love between a mother and a child. Now, within the love between the mother and the child, there can be various emotions that intensify. So, we know that there are 12 rasas. The 5 are considered primary and the 7 are considered secondary. So, now, what do we mean by primary and secondary? That means that the first five, they are the sthayi bhavas. They are the prominent flavor of the relationship. Earlier I talked about how relationships need to have predictability and unpredictability. So, now within, say, a mother-child relationship, the predictable part, the sthayi bhava is that, yes, you are my child, you are my son, and you are my mother. Now, imagine if suddenly the child says, you are not my mother, I reject you. Or the mother child reject you. You know, husband and wife, they can have various relationships. You know, they can have various flavors in the relationship. They can get angry, they can tease, they can joke. They can have various flavors. But if suddenly the husband says, I reject the wife, or the wife says, I reject the husband, then the whole relationship will collapse. So, sthayi bhav is what maintains the relationship. So there, I talked about predictability and unpredictability. The sthayi bhav is the predictable part of the relationship. If the sthayi bhav itself is lost, then the relationship becomes so unpredictable as to become insecure and to break down. And the vyabhichari bhav add the unpredictable flavor, you could say sauce, to the relationship. So there's a main flavor of a particular food item, and then we add some sauce or some chutney or something like that to flavor that, to give a special further taste to that item. So vyabhichari bhav is the additional emotion that comes when that sthayi bhav is to be enhanced in a different way. So within the sthayi bhav of madhurya, that is the relationship, that is a predictable, steady relationship between Rukmini and Krishna. Within that sthayi bhav, there is the vyabhichari. So now we have this vyabhichari in the seven secondary rasas that are there. There is bibhatsa, there is bhayanaka, there is krodha, there is hasya, there is humor, horror, anger, fear. So all these add to the relationship. So Krishna wanted humor, but Rukmini responded with horror. So, Krishna wanted to joke with Rukmini, but unfortunately, Rukmini could not get the joke. So, she did not get the joke and she responded with horror. But both ways, the madhurya, whether it was enhanced by hasya or by bhayanaka, either way, there was a flavor that was not there that came in that relationship. So, Krishna, what happened here? Is that Krishna expressed his love in a different way for Radha Rukmini, and Rukmini responded initially in an unexpected way and then in a way which Krishna desired, although even that was different from the pattern. So with respect to this pastime, if you want to analyze now, I'll repeat this: karya karana sahakari. So karana karya sahakari. Karan is the external stimulus. In that there is alamban and uddipan. Uddipan is the setting, alamban is the characters. Then there is karya. In karya there is the conscious emotions, the conscious actions and the unconscious actions. So that is the anubhav and the vibhav. And then there is sahakari. Sahakari is the assistance to that emotion. So that is the vyabhichari bhav. So now in this particular pastime, the setting is Krishna and Rukmini. They are there in Rukmini's palace and they are talking affectionately with each other. And setting of the palace, so that indeed that is the uddipan. So it is Krishna has so many queens, but Krishna has come to Rukmini's palace. And Rukmini is very pleased to see Krishna. She's welcoming Krishna. She wants to serve and please him. So that, the setting of the palace is the Uddipan. The arrival of Krishna is the Alamban. But within that, Krishna's speech, no, it is very unexpected and quite horrifying for Rukmini. So then when she speaks like this, this is the Karan. Now Karya is that Rukmini, when she faints, when she hears Krishna speaking like this, she faints. Now her fainting is not a conscious action. It's just unconsciously, you know, she's so horrified that she can't bear it, she just faints. So that is subconscious. And then afterwards she will recover, she'll pull herself together, and then she will counter Krishna. So she will refute Krishna, and that is the conscious part. And then, in this whole process, the sahakari, within the madhurya, the vibhichari bhav that have come here is the hasya, the humor and the horror. So in this way, Rupa Goswami in the Ujjwal Neelamani, he actually analyzes various situations. Of course, he does not go too much into the Dwarka Leela. He focuses primarily on the Vraja Leela, and he analyzes different situations. And he says, you know, when Krishna does this, then a particular gopi does this. And then this particular action by this particular gopi in this particular situation demonstrates this particular emotion. So that the whole Ujjwal Neelamani is an analysis of the emotions which the gopis display in various settings. And in that way, he advances what is talked about in the Bhaktarasa Amrit Sindhu. So, now, we may wonder that emotions are something to be relished. Are they something to be analyzed? No, actually, if you see, there is so much analysis. Rupa Goswami does some analysis in Bhaktarasa Amrit Sindhu, but much more in Ujjwal Neelamani. And Jiva Goswami also does a lot of analysis further in his commentaries, Digdarshini. So, are emotions to be relished or they are to be analyzed? Here again, there is the whole... The answer to this question is the foundation of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sadhana. It's the whole subject in itself. But I'll just briefly state this and then we'll conclude. So, the point of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sadhana is that practice brings perfection. That means the emotions which the gopis, which the advanced devotees of Krishna are experiencing, when we act in the same ways. So Rupa Goswami says a devotee should go and stay in Vrindavan. Why stay in Vrindavan? Because then the same Uddipan and the same Alamban that were there for Krishna and his devotees, they will become accessible for us. So the whole principle of sadhana bhakti is, at least as is talked about in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, is that we try to get as many of the original Uddipan and Alamban as much as possible, and we try to do as much of the original Karya as possible. So for example, in the temple, we have not just the deity. Yes, the deity is there, and the deity is the heart of the temple. But along with that, there are many other devotional Uddipanas. There are pictures of Krishna, there are garlands, there are other icons. And the whole idea is that more and more stimuli for remembering Krishna can be there. And that same we try to create, replicate in our homes, wherever we are. So for example, now here, we have not just the temple where we have many spiritual Uddipanas, we have Vrindavan Garden. And Prabhupada wanted to create Nava Vrindavan in New Vrindavan. And then that is what is being attempted now in Vada. So the idea is what? That those spiritual Uddipan that was there, make them as accessible as possible. So, the emotions that are there in our heart are very tender. But when the Uddipan is there, those emotions will become kindled more and more. And they will grow by that. So, the purpose of analyzing emotions is so that we can recreate the situations in which those emotions will arise in our heart, and then we can relish those emotions. So certainly, the ultimate thing that we want to do with emotions is relish them. Pibata bhagvatam rasamalayam muhur aho rasika bhuvibhavukaha. Become a rasika. The bhagvatam, actually, from 1.1.1 to 1.1.3, it actually is describing its own journey. 1.1.1 is dhimahi. Meditate. Meditate on that absolute truth. 1.1.3 is rasama, pibata, drink, relish. So if you see, meditation is more of a dhimahi, especially the word dhimahi comes in Gayatri Mantra. And Gayatri Mantra is to be chanted in a very sober, clean, pure setting. So that is more or less like the meditation on the greatness of God, where one is intellectually aware of the greatness of God and one meditates on that greatness. Whereas pibata, drink, relish, that is more related with spontaneous emotions. So the Bhagavatam itself will trace the journey from analysis to relishing. And when we study these exalted pastimes, what is our purpose? To the extent we have the capacity, we can analyze. So that we can individualize the process of bhakti and find out what are the uddipan, what are the stimuli that attract our consciousness towards Krishna. There is certainly the standard process of bhakti wherein we chant the holy names, we attend class, we take darshan of the deities. This is all important and we do need to do this. At the same time, within the various activities of bhakti, we will all find that there are certain things which attract us more. Some devotees may like kirtans more. Some devotees may like deity worship more. Some devotees may like to study shastra more. Even shastra also. But there are substantially different flavors and different shastra. So, we have to find out what is the most stimulating uddipan for us. Now, we are not talking about uddipan in terms of thinking about the esoteric pastimes of Krishna. We are applying the concept of uddipan down to our level. The point is, we find out what is it that stimulates spiritual emotions within us, what is it that kindles our attraction towards Krishna, what is it in which we can most easily and deeply absorb ourselves in Krishna. And then we try to maximize those uddipan around us. So if we find that by singing Vaishnava songs, I can become absorbed in Krishna most, then we can take out some extra time to memorize some Vaishnava songs. And it's not that if memorizing a whole song is very difficult, I can't do that. No, we don't have to. Actually, if we want a spiritual uddipan, we have to be clear about the purpose. It's not even necessary to memorize the full song. No, even one line from one song may inspire us, and we just memorize that. So we find out what is the uddipan that stimulates us the most, and then we create more and more of those uddipans around us. Physically, in the external environment that we are in, and intellectually inside us, by remembering them, by assimilating them. And in that way, the spiritual emotions will become stimulated more and more. Unfortunately, in this world, there are more than enough material uddipanas around us. You know, there is every holding that we see, that is a super powerful material uddipan. That evokes lust, it evokes greed, it evokes so many worldly emotions. So one aspect of bhakti is to minimize, one aspect of bhakti sadhana is to minimize our exposure to this material uddipanas, material stimuli. But that is only the negative. And saying no, that is not very pleasant. It is never fulfilling. We have to do it, but it is never fulfilling. Fulfillment comes when we say yes to something positive. And that's why more important than finding out what are the temptations that we have to be aware of, yes, that is important, but even more important for our happy progress in bhakti is finding out what are the spiritual stimuli that attract us towards Krishna. And by maximizing our exposure to those stimuli, we can channelize our emotions towards Krishna more and more. And thus, we can protect ourselves from being dragged away by emotions away from Krishna towards Maya. And in this way, the process of bhakti will not just be intellectual process, where we understand with analysis, you know, this is what I should do, this is what I should not do. It's important, we have to do that. But along with that, when we surround ourselves with spiritual uddipanas, then even our emotions will get involved. And the force of our emotions will take us towards Krishna. Otherwise, it is the force of our intelligence that is trying to push us towards Krishna, and the force of our emotions is trying to push us away from Krishna. And then in inner tug of war, we can't just sustain always on the strength of our intelligence. We definitely need our intelligence, but we also need to channelize the force of our emotions. And sometimes in a river, you know, there are multiple streams, multiple currents, especially now if you study the oceanography, you know, there are different currents in the ocean. So some water in the Atlantic Ocean, say in the Indian Ocean is coming from Australia, it is moving towards India. Some water in the Atlantic Ocean, in the Indian Ocean, is coming from India, it is moving towards Australia, say. So now what happens? The sailors who are there, they are aware of the streams. And then if a ship wants to go from India to Australia, if it gets caught in the current which is coming from Australia to India, then the effort to move will be much more. But if it comes in the current which is going from India to Australia, then it will move much faster. So like that, there are different currents of emotions in our consciousness. So some currents go towards Krishna, some currents go away from Krishna. So we have to situate ourselves in the current which is going towards Krishna. And before that we have to find out which is the current. You know, there are currents like that which are going towards Krishna also. But often when we focus too much on saying, oh, I should not do this, I should do this, then all that we are doing is, by thinking of what we should not do, we are unwittingly situating ourselves in the current which is going away from Krishna. And then it becomes very difficult to resist the pull of worldly emotions. But by understanding this principle of uddipana, especially in the practice of our bhakti, we can situate ourselves in the current that moves towards Krishna, and thus make our progress more easier and more joyful. So I'll summarize. I started by talking about how in this pastime Krishna wants Rukmini to demonstrate something unpredictable. So instead of a predictable amicability, congeniality, he wants to see her fury. And then we discussed about how Chandravali is Rukmini and Radharani is Satyabhama. So the relationships to be exciting need to have a blend of the predictable and the unpredictable. Then we discussed about the framework of rasa. There is karana, karya and sahakari. And we discussed how these all, they naturally accompany emotion, but they can also be used to consciously accompany so that the emotion gets enhanced. And lastly, we discussed about how this applies to the pastime here, and then how this analysis applies to us in our lives, that we can minimize the exposure to material uddipanas and find out what are our spiritual uddipanas and situate ourselves and surround ourselves with those spiritual uddipanas, and thus use the power, the current of our emotions to accelerate our journey towards Krishna. So thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Itai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you.